Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone. We're on episode 6 here of Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks, and you know, Alex and I, we are quite excited because we are starting our Final Fantasy IX series, which is great because, I mean, yeah, we kind of did Final Fantasy XII, but it was only 3 episodes. It was kind of just our get a feel, you know, of the whole podcast deal. But with Final Fantasy IX, we are going to get real fun with it because real in depth. Because when we started to plan this, I went to Alex and I was like, you know, why don't we kind of, we're not going to call it a walkthrough because it's not a walkthrough. It's not going to be like, you have to do this here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to just go in sequence of the game, you know, instead of bouncing around different ideas like, oh, chocobos, oh, you know, XYZ, whatever. We're just going to kind of keep it in lines with the story. And then we might stop and talk about some different things here and there for, you know, specific episodes to get a little bit more in depth. But I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to be good just kind of going in order. And what I'm going to try to do, I did not get a chance, but what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to, each time we do one of these episodes, I'm going to try to play up to that where we stopped, you know, doing everything. So that way I'm kind of following along. I mean, I just did play through Final Fantasy IX pretty much all the way, but still, like, doing this, yeah. I mean, I breezed through it. I got so much to do. And so we're going to be talking about all kinds of cool stuff.
There's a lot to do in this game, that's for sure. So it's kind of like, especially with a lot of the, like, the little side quests and mini games and things like that we kind of mentioned earlier, it's going to be in depth. It's going to be fun to talk about.
Absolutely. And I mean, like you said, it kind of, we're going to be tying in some things from previous episodes, especially the mini games and all that. And so let's kick it off. So intro scenes, you know, I will say the one thing I've missed the most as Final Fantasy has progressed, is they don't really do as many cinematics. Like, 7, 8, 9, man, they were all about it. So many. 10, 2 actually had quite a bit as well. 12 actually had a lot, but it, you know, that was a little different. But it just, it started going towards just in-game graphic kind of cutscenes. And it's like, come on, man, where's the cinematics? So what was your thoughts on the intro scenes?
This one, I thought that, especially you could tell from the intro, I mean, it was kind of an intense, you know, intro FMV, I guess you could say.
Right.
And I just thought it was cool how this game in general, you could already tell from the intro scenes in the intro FMV that it was so much more of a, you know, really put the fantasy in Final Fantasy. It was like going back to the old school roots of castles and kingdoms.
Yeah.
And really weird characters and you know, strange species and things like that. It was just awesome. So you could kind of get that feel from the intro scenes.
Absolutely. It kind of really set the tone of the world that you'll be playing in. And I agree, man. I mean, and I like that. I mean, that's, you know, when I think of Final Fantasy, especially if we're thinking kind of just older school, I mean, that's what you think, right? You kind of think of like major cities, powerful nations, and all these other things. And it's just, it's really cool. I love the scenes as well. And just like I pretty much said, I mean, cinematics in general, man, I love them. They're awesome. And I mean, because here's the other thing too. Like when I play through these, you know, I mean, we grew up playing this. And you know, fun fact here for Alex and I is I remember we got our hands on Final Fantasy IX whenever that was, I don't know, 4th, 5th grade for us. And we had a sleepover at Alex's house and we stayed up all night and we were so stoked because we made it through disc 1.
Yeah, well, you know? That was intense because, you know, anybody who's played this game before, you know that some crazy things start to happen at
Absolutely.
The end of disc 1. And we would just try to basically get as far as we could in like one evening or one afternoon or whatever, you know, we would just play Final Fantasy. We would stick to one game and just play that all night.
Yeah, bust out those vanilla Coca-Colas, man, and just go for it. And it was awesome because, I mean, that's the thing. This one, I know we're kind of getting off topic here, but this one just real great for kind of just surprises, and it's full of it. So, all right, first battle, right? Yeah. So Zidane, he's in the theater ship, first battle. It's quite interesting, isn't it? It's pretty funny. It's
really weird.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, why the heck did Baku have a dragon head, first of all? You know, like, it's just so
That's
weird.
the thing. It was so funny. And then at the very beginning, too, he does like a roar, like a dragon.
Yeah.
Roar. And it's like, how did he even do that? But yeah, it is really weird because I guess it was like supposed to be a training session. But I mean, the fact that none of them knew that it was actually Baku, even though he was wearing, like, aside from the dragon, hat thing or whatever, the mask. You know, he was wearing all his normal clothes, and that we're just fighting this thing as if it's an actual, like, enemy or something.
Yeah, it's so strange. Really, like, at first you think it's maybe stuck on his head, but yeah, then the roar, it's like, okay, you're just pretending, okay? But, so battle system, it's very traditional up to that point. You know, it's turn-based. I will say Final Fantasy IX, oh my gosh, does it drag its feet. You're just sitting there staring at that bar to fill up, and it's like, well, I'll go grab a cup of coffee real quick while I got some time.
ATB speed is so slow.
And I mean, I kind of understand it because you get four characters in this one, which is, that's new, you know, and I'm pretty sure that's the only Final Fantasy in which you get to have four party members in. So that's pretty cool.
I gotta say, so I think six had four.
See, and I got no knowledge before
really
7.
We didn't play those ones too much, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
And so maybe that's why it's slower, I don't know. But what do you think about the all-thief team that they start you with?
I loved it. I mean, honestly, like, Blank was always one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And I always kind of thought it was a shame, especially, you know, it would have been nice to actually have him as a permanent character, even though, like, he was basically the same as Zidane.
Right.
Just steal and stuff. But he was just a cool character.
He was a cool blindfolded or whatever. I don't even know.
I don't know what that is. It's like a belt over his eyes.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Kind of going back to, you know, this game, just the characters and the costume design and all that kind of stuff was so...
It's out there, man.
Yeah,
it's out there.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah. Well, taking it the other route, the Senna, the... poor Senna, he's so terrible.
I don't get it.
Oh, man.
I mean, and we were talking about this the other day when we were, you know, going through our points. I really, really, like, at some point when we start getting in-depth into this kind of stuff, I'd love to look at damage equations that they use and parameters they use for some of these characters, because all of these characters just start off with base level equipment, like leather shirt, leather hat, and all that stuff, but... If anybody else has noticed this, whenever Senna gets attacked, he gets KO'd, like, instantly because he takes massive amounts of damage. I don't know if that's, like, supposed to be a joke on Senna or something.
Probably, man.
And then to add to the fact that, you know, you attack with him, he does no damage either, and it's totally random.
Oh, and the way he attacks in his hammer, I mean, it's just everything about him, I think, is just, it's a joke on him, it is.
He's a joke character,
yeah. But then we got Zidane, right? So through all that, you know, Zidane, the main character, traditional thief character. He's got steel, you know, he's quick and all that stuff. Overall, I kind of like him. I mean, he's pretty much just a human with a tail, right?
I know. That's the first thing that you notice is it's like, okay, this guy, he's like part monkey, part human or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, it's just that weird thing again, Final Fantasy IX bringing the weirdness to the series.
Yeah, a tail.
And, he's just so... But that's a really interesting thing. And then, of course, you know, you get that at the very end, but...
Yes. So you figure all that out, but... Yeah. Overall, I like him. I mean, he's a solid character.
I just gotta say, I think he's one of the more, like, relatable characters, too, because he's kind
of... It's very down-to-earth.
Exactly. He's a pretty, like, humble, down-to-earth, but then he's also, he's got a confidence, he's got a good sense of humor and all that kind of stuff. So.
That's true. So you do all that, and you get in, right, and we just have to point this out, because it's so hilarious. You know, when they're doing the whole plan to kidnap, the princess... And you got the two options, and it's funny because I got screenshots for all this, so we definitely be looking to media because I'll be posting all kind of the stuff as we go along. But it's just hilarious because, you know, you get to be like in Zidane, and that's when, you know, and you get to select it, And it's funny if you select kidnap the queen, you know, and because Baku just like, instead, he's like, yeah, that's when we kidnap the ugly fat, you know, and it's just hilarious.
And I mean, that in and of itself, like, is just such a weird thing right off the bat, is you've got Queen Bran, super ugly, like, king, and then Princess Garnet.
Yeah.
It's like, how did that work? But
it's hilarious. That's like the thing, right? Through the dialogue for a while is just, how did that happen? You know, guards and so many different things. And it's like, So, you know, you go through that and the story keeps going on. And then it kind of takes you to Alexandria streets, right? Where we meet, of course, Vivi, the nice little... I think it says he's around like 9 years old or something like that. I don't know.
Little
black mage kid, you know, and obviously he is the black mage, and you know, we won't get too much into it right now, because again, we're kind of, like we said, we're kind of going in order of the story and stuff. But it's pretty hysterical watching Vivi communicate with people, you know, and you got the rat kid that comes along and it runs into him and just lets him have it, you know.
Yeah. And I love that at the beginning of the game too, he's literally referred to as Rat Kid.
Yeah, Rat Kid.
It's fantastic. But yeah, Vivi and his mannerisms and things like that, like how he always does that sort of like readjusting of the hat and like pulling his pants up thing or something.
Yeah, like pulling a shirt down or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and stuttering a lot of his words. But it's pretty cool because, I mean, that's who, you know, you'd think it introduces Zidane, and we, you know, I guess at that point we don't really know that he's the main character, but I just thought it was interesting. Vivi is the first kind of person that you get to kind of just go and explore with. And through my recent playthrough, you know, I was exploring the way I do. And I was just, dude, I did not remember how much gil is on the floor. Now, I'm not saying how much value-wise, because it's like twos and threes. But it's all over the place. It is literally all over. You get to pick it up here and there. And I was like, oh, man.
And there's some really funny ones, too. Like, right off the bat, if you go in the house to the right, in the alley, you can go into, like, the grandma's house or something like that. And then it literally says, like, found grandma's savings of 5 gil or something like that. It's just really funny.
That's the thing.
It's strewn about everywhere.
They hit you with the humor. Just that kind of nice... Final Fantasy IX, I think, has the best humor. That's my opinion, of
really
course.
Good.
But it's fantastic. But it's just, it's great. And, of course, there's much more to explore, which we will get to. We're trying to keep the episode shorter, people. We know that we've been killing you here. But we're gonna go ahead and transfer into Bold Move before we continue on. So let's get to it. So we're going to have Alex start us off here with Bold Move this episode. What you got, man?
All right. So for Bold Move this week, I got, I was thinking Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay.
And I thought, all those times that Irvine hit on like every girl in the game, basically. So, you know, he tries to hit on Selphie. He tries to hit on Quistis, of all people.
Yeah, that's true.
And Rhino and everything. And then there's that really funny part, too, where right out of Galbadia Garden, if you let him choose the party, he'll put Selphie and Rhino in his party him or something like that.
The chicks.
So he's a bold guy, you know, bold move.
It's hilarious how much he does. That's his thing. He's just hitting on chicks the whole entire time.
Yeah.
All right, well, mine this... this installment is going to Final Fantasy VII and Barret, of all people. You know, Barret had a tragic accident. He lost his arm. He went to the hospital. They're like, yo, dude, we got some prosthetics and all that. He's like, nah, I want a freaking gun attached to my arm. That is a bold move.
That is a good point, man.
That's
seriously
a bold move.
Could have just a gun, too, a Gatling gun.
I mean, yeah, a Gatling gun. It's like, put that on there. I don't even want to know how it works, you know, with your nervous system and all that. But, you know, prosthetic, fake arm? Nah, give me a gun attached to this. So.
And not to get too sidetracked by that, but just, I always wondered, like, what you were saying, how does that work? wouldn't it get like really hot or something like that?
Where are the bullets coming from, you know?
Exactly.
Anyways, Barrett, you're a bold man. That was a bold move. So that was this time's bold move, and we're going to continue on with Final Fantasy IX. So, of course, with all the other exploring that you can do with Vivi, you can go talk to the ticket guy. Now, do you have to talk to the ticket guy to move on the story?
Yeah.
Yep. Right, because it tells you it's fake, right? That's so...
Yep, exactly. So, to advance the story at that point, that's like one of the first things that you actually have to do.
Gotcha. So, he tells you it's fake, and then, of course, you get your first cards! Woohoo! In which...
And I love it when he tells them it's fake. No.
Yeah. It's tragedy. So, yeah, you know, if you listen to our mini game series on Final Fantasy IX, of course we got into Tetra Master, and you know, of course we compared it to Triple Triad, and we're just not even going to go there right now. But Triple Triad, I would say it was much easier in the beginning, especially because you got some strong cards. This dude, this game was a lot harder, in my opinion, Tetra Master, is in the beginning.
Yeah, and not only is it harder, it's like there's not even really much of an incentive to actually play the game because, you know, when you think about it compared to Final Fantasy VIII and Triple Triad, for that, you know, you can use card mod and all that kind of stuff to get items. This game is like completely a side quest, and yeah, you have a lot of cards, and I think the artwork on the cards is pretty cool, and the monsters and things like that, but you're right, it's incredibly frustrating game to play sometimes.
It is. And you know, we have on there that stronger cards are handy, and of course there are some beginning ones that you can get that we'll get to in a moment. But going through this, and you know, we're like, we don't want to stop and just talk about Tetra Master, you know, in depth, but I will say something we didn't get to on the minigame series is kind of just the stat explanation right on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Because even, you know, going back to it in my recent playthrough, I had to look it up because I was like, man, I don't remember. What is all that at the bottom? You know, I'm like, I know it means something. Yeah. I just couldn't remember. And so we're just going to go through it, and I'm going to give you a scenario, too, as why Tetra Master sucks. So exactly. The first value on the card is power, right? So kind of like your attack. That's what it is. Of course, all the values, they all range from 0 to F. So, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, and then A through F.
Yeah, I think it's, is that called hexadecimal system or something like that? But
I think so. So that's what you got. I will say, and we touched on this, the cool thing about this is your cards can grow, and so they can increase in power, which is pretty cool. Anyways, second value is kind of like the card class. So you got P, which is battle, physical battle, rather. You got M, magical. You got X, which is flexible. Now, the difference is that X being flexible, it attacks the lower of the two defenses, which we'll get to here in a moment. And then the last one, which, man, it was on all the info. It says A, assault battle class. I told that we were talking when I was looking this up, and I can't really remember seeing an A ever.
I don't think I've ever had that either. You must use a card like you probably have to use it a lot to get it to upgrade to that.
So I don't know. And with assault, it attacks the lowest value on the card, so it can even attack the power value rather than the defenses. So that's the second value. Third value is physical defense. Fourth value, magical. So that's the stats, right? And so if you got all zeros, well, you're starting out. So here is a scenario in which frustrates Alex, and if you've ever played this, you have absolutely encountered this as well. And
everybody's had this happen.
We've been wondering forever, why does this happen? Why does my much stronger card lose to a much weaker card? You know, you just can't figure it out. I mean, think about it in Triple Triad, where, you know, you have an A card going against a 1, and your A card loses, and it's like, how did that happen?
Or, you know, even just like a 2 attack, how often it loses to like a 0 defense or something, it just baffles me.
It's insane. And so I dug into this, and I figured out how the game does it. So I read about it, and here, we're just going to throw something at you, right? So I know it's going to be a lot of numbers. Try to follow along. I'm going to try to break it down as easy as possible. So say you have card A attacking. Let's just say that is, I don't know, freaking Ultima Sword. I don't even know if that is a card, but you know, you got an Ultima Sword, and it's got a 5 power, so its attack is 5, right? That's the value. Now the other weird thing with this is even in all these values, they range. So for instance, with a 5 power card, it can do as little as 80 and as much as 95. So it's kind of a range, right? So what the game does is it takes a random value within that range. So that's what it does first, right? So in this case, from 80 to 95, let's just say it picks 85, right? Just kind of at random. Then what it does is it takes another random value between 0 and that first value that was selected. So in this example, it's taken a random value between 0 and 85. Let's just say 71, right? I mean, it could be anything. Let's just say 71. Then it subtracts the two. So it takes the first value, in our case 85, it subtracts the second random value, in our case 71, and then that is the attack. So that's the attack chosen, in our case 14, right? Not the 80 to 95 that you would assume that it would be, right? No, there's the whole, why would you do that? That's too simple. So 14 attack. Okay. Let's take card B. Let's say a goblin. Ooh, it's defending, right? It's defending itself. Let's say its defense is 1, much lower than 5. Its value ranges from 16 to 31. So, I mean, you know, it is much weaker. Same thing. We're picking a random value from 16 to 31. Let's just say 23, okay? Then we're taking another random value from 0 to that first value pick, 23. Let's just say 3 in this case. We have to subtract our values, so 23 minus 3, its defense is 20. Boom! Freaking ultimately just lost to a goblin because of randomness, because we had 14 attack versus 20 defense. And it's like, yeah. And you just get these things, and you're like, how is this possible? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so frustrating.
Exactly. It's just the fact that it can happen. And I mean, I don't know. In my experience, it's like maybe I've just had some unlucky days, but
absolutely.
It seems to happen a lot, man.
Dude, I mean, it seems to happen more than not.
Exactly. Why it's so frustrating, too, is that, you know, I'll save a powerful card to the end.
Yeah.
Specifically in the hopes that it should, you know, that it's like
your anchor.
Yeah. Right, should be a high probability of winning against this card, which should, you know, all the arrows are pointing at other cards, so you should get that chain effect, and then it loses.
And then it loses.
Right. Okay. Sweet.
It's that. That's the thing, and of course we'll get into more, Tetramaster as we go on. But that is just the thing. There is too much variability. I mean, it's even to the point where you could have an F power. And it could lose to a 0 defense if the values are just line up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It is ridiculous that can happen. So, yeah. Anyways, wanted to break that down because that's something that we learned. And it's like, oh, okay, so that's, you know, what's actually happened. So wanted to share that. Moving on, though, keeping it to kind of cards in the beginning. So what are some quick, easy card treasures we can find?
Okay, so after you get the first cards from the ticket booth, which, of course, I think is... What, like, goblin, skeleton, fang?
Fang, yeah.
One of the funny, like, reoccurring sort of NPC characters that you can see in Alexandria is Hippal. Yeah. And you don't actually have to talk to him at this point, but near the gate, around that, like, main square where the ticket booth is, you can talk to him, and he mentioned something about his hidden cards. And so, yeah. If you go over to the church... Before you talk to... Actually, no, you could talk to the ticket booth guy. But if you have head over to the church, pull the rope on the bell, it drops down like a little tiny treasure chest. And inside you get Goblin, Fang, and Iron Knight card. Which is actually really lovely. Good. Like that can give you a nice strong card to use in the early part of the game.
Yeah, well, and it's free. I mean, that's what it is, right? Exactly. It's you don't have to do anything. You just go do that. Because the other one, of course, is... Jump rope, which that's there in the beginning as well. We've already talked about it multiple times, so we're not going to talk about it at all because it sucks and it's frustrating and it sucks your soul. Exactly. So, but we will go over the rewards real quick just in case, because I don't think we've gone over like the actual one. So 20 jumps is the first thing you're gonna get, and that's 10 kill.
10 kill.
Might as well keep going, because if you can get 50 jumps, you do get a Cactar card, and that is pretty darn strong at that point. So that would be a good card to try to get. Then of course 100 jumps, Genji card. 200 jumps, Alexandria card. 300 jumps, Tiger Racket. And then card, that is, not the weapon. And then 1,000 jumps, of course, we talked about many times, you get the basically just the achievement for it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try my best to try to get 50. I want to try to get that Cactar card at the beginning, because I do want to make, I know we say this a lot, I do want to make a serious attempt at cards, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, I've had a lot of success in getting up to 50. For 300 consecutive jumps, man, they should actually give you the Tiger Racket weapon for that, to be honest. But,
I mean, no, right?
That's just me, because I Tiger Racket card, honestly, isn't even that good. I think I've gotten Genji one time, and that's not really that great of a card. I mean, it's more of a defensive one. It has, like, no attack. It's got really good defense, but...
Yeah, well...
That's that.
Try your best, right?
Exactly, so. Yeah.
But let's get to some C trivia here. Alex is rank 4, so
all right.
We're going to see if he can get to the next rank here. So let's do it. So our rank 5 test that we got. I tried not to get too hard with these, but it's just, you know, what I do is I grab my fat stack of strategy guides and I just start digging, and it's some of them come to my mind, but
yeah.
All right, man. Starting it off nice and easy.
Okay.
I'm gonna try not to laugh too much on some of these. Final Fantasy 12. Bosch is from Nalbina.
False.
All right. Final Fantasy 10. Go ahead and mix yourself a supreme gem with a grenade, and you'll get a tall boy.
True.
Final Fantasy 13. Supernatural is a paradigm that has 2 Synergists and 1 Ravager.
False.
Final Fantasy VIII. The UFO is found in Gradini Forest. Or Grandidi Forest?
Yeah, I think Grandidi. So by that question, like one of the locations?
Yeah.
Yes.
True. Confidence.
Yeah, right.
All right, man. Final Fantasy IX. Keep hitting it home here. Dagger's real name is Sexy.
False. Oh, man.
Final Fantasy X-2. Yuna's floral falal. Right? That's how you say it? Falal?
Something like floral falal. Something falal, like that,
falal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, it needs 2 items to break the limits. Those are Aurora Rain and Midnight Rain.
And by limit, you mean like the damage?
Damage, yeah, all the limits, yeah.
True.
Alright, let's recap. Final Fantasy XII, Bosch is not from Nalbina, because he's Bosch von Ronsenberg of Damascus.
From Landis or something like that, right?
Yeah, he's not from Nalbina. I mean, no. We know that, at least.
Yeah.
All right, Final Fantasy X. Mix a Supreme Gem with the grenade for Tallboy. Unfortunately, man, that is not correct.
What is it, a cluster bomb?
I don't know what that makes, but if you mix a Supreme Gem, it has to be mixed with either, I mean, you got Bomb Core, Bomb Fragment, Fire Gem, or Electro Marble, and that'll give you a Tallboy. All the crazy things, right? Final Fantasy 13, Supernatural is a paradigm with 2 Synergists and Ravager. I think you said false. That is true, my man. That is true.
Oh, man.
Yeah, come on. UFO is found in the forest. So the UFO is found in the forest. You're good. So right now we got, we're 2 for 2. Or two and two. Dagger's real name. Dagger's real name is not Sexy. Just because we are in Final Fantasy IX, I don't know why. We can't describe it. Final Fantasy IX, I never rename the characters in anything, ever. I just always keep them. But for whatever reason, one playthrough, I pretty much redid everyone's name, almost, except for like Vivi and Zidane, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a young lad, Dagger was, I mean, come on, you gotta see those graphics? Dagger was named Sexy. And what? Kuna was fatso. Red
fatso.
Red was hippie. Freya was ugly.
Very creative things. I just loved Quina Fatso.
Fatso.
Ridiculous, man.
Anyways, back on track.
Good times.
Yeah. In order to break the limits, you do need Aurora Rain, and I thought I was going to get creative here. I didn't know how well you knew it. Yeah. It's not Midnight Rain, though. It's actually called Twilight Rain.
Alright. Oh, that's a fail.
So, unfortunately, you failed, man. You're still seed rank 4.
Wow.
What a loser.
Man. That was tough, dude.
I picked some tough ones. Yeah, I picked some tough ones.
It was 2 items, and that sounded legit.
Oh, dude, once you get into the grenades, though, too, going back to 10, like, it's just, there are so many different combos for so many different grenades, man. It's...
Yeah. Ball Boy sounded correct, because I know that if you mix a lot of things with grenade, it's like Cluster Bomb or Tall Boy along those lines. And then with that paradigm too, dude, that is literally a paradigm I've never used.
No, I've never used that
really
either.
It's really hard to stabilize the gauge with that, so I just never use it. But
yeah. Okay. So,
oh well.
That's what we got. Seed rank 5 test failed. He's going to remain seed rank 4. So let's go ahead, go back to Final Fantasy IX and finish that up. So kind of what, you know, you got the rat kid, you help him out, or you say you will help him out at least, and you get through the alleyway, you know, and there you go, and then you're kind of, you know, you got the chapel, and you can kind of explore a little bit more down here.
Well, so, I mean, there's also this little side quest, and kind of similar to Hippal's secret card stash. This was a little side quest that I never knew about, especially the first, you know, times that I played this game.
Yeah.
But basically, there's a character, an NPC character named Tom, this little kid that's kind of over by the docks, by the chapel.
Yep.
If you kind of go over there, there's like those planks of wood and everything, and he's at the end of one of them, and he says he's lost his cat. So you go looking around and everything, and I know you were saying you tried this, but you couldn't find the cat.
I remember where his cat was. Where was it?
Right. So you have to go all the way back to the very beginning, pretty much even one screen before when you first get control of Vivi, to like this main square with the statue.
Yeah.
And then you see like a little orange cat walking around. You just go interact with it, and then Tom runs in. He's like, "Hey, it's finding my cat." Da, da, da. The cool thing with this is if you go back and talk to him, get another really decent card for free at this point in the game, the bomb card, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Kind of helpful. So I mean, by here you can get a couple of the cards to help you out, and so that way you can take on weaker cards and still lose anyways. But you know, the next little thing, well, I guess we skipped it, but, you know, you help the kid out for the lookout, right? So, you know, you're looking. But the funny thing here is Alleyway Jack, in which you're told to go talk to if you need help with cards, right? And this dude full-on robs you. Who robs a little kid, honestly? This dude just comes and it's bling, and he goes away. And it's like, hold up, man, hold up.
It's kind of like Final Fantasy VII style. There's a couple times in that game that this type of thing happens. But if you get too close to him, there's like a real quick exclamation mark above Vivi. And if you don't press X, he steals some gil from you. I don't actually know how much he steals, though. I've never noticed that. Have you?
No. Because at that point, I mean, I never really look at my gil. You know, I was picking
really
up like
much,
pennies off the floor, so... You know, I hope he's happy that he's got dirty money that I found on the ground.
I know, right? And then he just, like what you said, he just
jerk.
Robs a kid. But,
yeah.
Alleyway Jack, really interesting character that you see throughout the game.
The entire game, yeah.
Yep, and it, you know, you only ever find out who he actually is pretty near the end. So we'll get to that in later episodes.
As we move on, we'll be seeing him and talking about him some more for sure. So you get on through, of course, and, you know, we're headed to back to the tower. You know, if you're there for a second time, the chapel, I guess, is what it kind of looks like, at least. I keep calling it that. Bell tower, there we go. And, you know, at this point, you're with the rat kid in the ladder, and, you know, you encounter the first familiar species that is in every single Final Fantasy, and that is the Mogs, right? You get the first little Mog.
Who pretty much falls right down on top of Evie's head,
yeah.
Which is a nice meeting.
Straighten up your hat.
There yeah, you exactly. And then you get your first... So, the first Mog, Koopo, really original name. But
yeah,
again,
super
that's
original.
Really, right? But that's a funny one because that goes way back. I mean, we haven't played the really early ones, but I know
no.
for sure Koopo is in 6. And others, it's just like that really common name for Mogs. And
yeah.
You get your first little introduction into Mognet.
Yeah, yeah, so Mognet, right? You got the mail from the Mogs. And at first, it's pretty easy, you know? It's pretty much, you get one, you go through the story, you encounter one, you know, that's the one you need to hand it to. They give you one, so on and so forth. But it starts to crisscross and get all over the place, you know? And so we'll kind of get more into that the further we get in because, like I said, the beginning... It's super linear, you know. I mean, it's just you encounter the Mogs as you go. But remember to always check that mail option is what it is. And it's pretty funny too because, and we'll get into this in the next episode as well. Even if you don't have a letter form, select the mail because sometimes you get mail, right? And so you gotta still select it. And so it's kind of just interesting. It's a whole interesting thing, you know. I mean, the whole mail thing in general was kind of different, but pretty cool. It's it's something. Little side thing for you to do, and then of course you get Stiltskin, which what an interesting fellow. He's wearing like a cheetah print little cape, and he's got
it's like camo or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what
super
it is.
Weird.
It is super weird, but he's going on a trip, which doesn't really mean anything to us right now in the game.
He's like a vagabond or something, like just a wanderer around the world, and all you know is that he's going on this long trip, and again, there's some really interesting items that you can get through this. He offers some cool things that you can buy later on down the road. At this point, right at the very beginning, you just have this nice little interaction and introduction to Stiltskin, that he's just going on a long journey, so.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. So, I know we kind of glazed over a lot to this point. But, like I said, that's why I didn't want to call it a walkthrough. We're not going to be 100% comprehensive, but we'll try to hit all the major things, missable stuff and all that. That way you guys will be in the know, and of course, just it'll be fun just to talk about it. So, overall, enjoying Final Fantasy IX, man. This is going to be such a fun series for us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, this is it's one of my favorite games. I know it is for you, too. We're also going to try and cover a lot of the little side quests and things like that, too.
Yeah.
Like, the Tom's Cat thing and Hippol's Treasure. Because those are types of things that I didn't know about when I first played this game. And I just find it really interesting that they added that in there. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's like the stuff to do. That's more of like, we're going to just tell you the stuff to do in each area. You know what I mean? Because like you said, I missed a lot of this stuff. And so it's fun. But anyways... We're going to continue this. This is kind of a cool little place to stop because, you got your mod, you got your first save point. So here we are. We're doing our first save point for the series, and we'll pick this back up in the next episode. So as always, thank you all for stopping by and spending some time with us. Don't forget to check our social medias. It's pretty much all our handles on everything is, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talk. So pretty easy to find. That's also our website URL. So stop by there. And we're going to continue to try our best to keep posting stuff. So, thank you all. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.